Our new bestie has changed how we track our investments. Why have over 400,000 investors chosen ShareSite? It's simple. This online investment dashboard for your investment portfolio supports over 500,000 stocks, ETFs, and funds, plus integrated with more than 200 platforms, ensures your entire investment portfolio is organized and accessible in one place. Move beyond the limited insights from brokerage statements. ShareSite offers a comprehensive view of your financial performance, including analyzed reports, dividend gains, and the impact of currency fluctuations, all through intuitive graphs and visualizations. But here's the best part. For the investee besties out there, ShareSite is offering a special deal. Save 4 months when you purchase an annual premium plan. It's time to dive deep into performance metrics, streamline tax reporting, and share your portfolio with ease. Join the link in the episode description to sign up to ShareSite now and transform your investment experience. Hello and welcome to Girls That Invest. You're joined today by your host, Sim and Maya, two millennial investors who are here to help you learn about all things investing and personal finance. Hello, Maya.
Kia ora, Sim.
How have you been?
I have been great, actually. Yeah, I've been taking some time to just like relax and take things a lot slower, definitely, than I did last year and, well, actually the past few years. So I'm enjoying it. I'm easing myself into things and just working on building some healthy habits and just kind of resetting and all of that kind of stuff. So things are going good.
I feel calmer when people tell me that they're feeling calmer.
Yeah.
It's like a nice feeling.
It's nice, eh? Like everything can be so chaotic and overwhelming. But just focusing on small, healthy, sustainable steps and habits to reset, really.
I'm here for it. And we'll talk about it more in the Girls at Startup series, but you have been posting more. I've been seeing a lot of good content on wellness and managing burnout.
Yes, yes. I have been very good with my posting on wellbeing with Maya. Like, I genuinely love it. I love connecting with people and being able to share more hauora, more wellbeing tips and tricks for people. So, yeah.
I am so here for that. On the topic of not connecting with people well, I'm really excited to talk about what had happened with Emma Chamberlain. Did you see the clip? Did you ever see the circulating? Because it was 2 months ago.
I didn't see it circulating, which I'm actually surprised by, because I don't follow Emma Chamberlain at all, but I seem to consume quite a lot of her content for someone who doesn't follow her.
So let me just give you a quick background. So Emma Chamberlain did an interview on the Colin and Samir show, which, by the way, is a fantastic podcast and YouTube show about creators for creators. And this interview came out 2 months ago, and it's like an hour and a half long. So within context, this was not the main purpose of the conversation. It was just like a question that was asked. And there was a clip that was going around that received a lot of backlash, because when they asked her about her finances, Emma said that this might sound insane and a bit irresponsible, but she doesn't look at her bank accounts. She, quote unquote, has no idea how much money she has, which kind of leads to the bigger question of how much money do we need before we can also stop worrying, before we can also just never check our bank accounts? How do rich people manage their finances? And should you even stop tracking your money? Because she said, let me read the actual quotes. I have no idea how much money I have. I know what I can do and I know what I can't do, but I have not looked in years. She also said that she can't get stolen from because she has layers and layers of checks and balances in place, and that her mum and her business manager oversee her cash. And she said, I don't need anything beyond what I have now. I have a house, I have a car, and I can travel freely, and that is enough. Thoughts?
I like her final statement saying that she doesn't need anything beyond what she has, and she's happy and content with having her car. She can travel. She has a house. She's like taken care of in that aspect. And I like that whakaro. I like that thought around pūtea, around money, about, you know, knowing that these are the things that you want to have and not kind of continuously hustling just to get more for the sake of it. So I like that aspect. I think from just in general and like an attitude to have with most things, I think you should be able to check on things. And she's not like a big, big celebrity like Beyonce or Rihanna, where they have all of these huge, big global companies where you actually need to hire people to oversee your cash flow and finances in that regards. So I understand that. But I'm assuming that she's small enough where she can just, you know, log into her bank account once a week at least, check on your finances, you know? Kind of crazy.
If checking your money or being obsessed with how much money you have was a spectrum, on one hand you have people like Grant Cardone or like the Alex Hormozis of the world that are like, I am worth $100 million, or I have $100 million company, or I'm worth $1 billion. And like, they probably like wake up every morning and check their accounts, you know, like when they're sad, like when they've had a bad day at work, when someone walks past them and like
peeps them up.
Yeah, they're just like, it's okay, man, like, let me just look at a photo of my private jet. Like, there's those kinds of people. And so on one hand, I'm glad that there are examples of people that are celebrities that are like, look, I don't really care how much I have, or it's not something I, you know,
solely focus on
or get validation from, or bring it up in the comment section where I'm like, yeah, well, to my haters, I have all this money. So I'm glad she's not like that. But at the same time, to not know how much you have, like if someone's like, how much are you worth? It's cool to be like, I don't know, maybe between...
To have an estimate.
Yeah, like maybe between like 10 and 30 million. I don't know, my parents take care of it in the same way that like Emma Watson said that she didn't have access to her wealth when she was a kid, when she was Hermione Granger. It's like, fair enough, you were a child.
Yeah.
But you should, I don't know, I just feel like...
You should have a ballpark.
A ballpark, one, because I'm nosy and I'd want to know your ballpark, but two, like, how do you just not have financial anxiety and not want to know? Or do you have so much financial anxiety, maybe, and maybe this is like something I'm missing, that you just really can't know?
I will also say, she mentioned that she has layers of checks and people in place. Maybe also this is a reflection of her trust within her team to be able to manage that without her. And I understand some people, you know, creatives, they don't want to have to think about Puthia money and those kinds of ins and outs. So she's just kind of like, look, I trust my team, my mum's in it, so I don't need to be in it. I don't agree with that sentiment, but I guess from that perspective, I could see it happening.
Would you let someone else manage your money to the point where you just like never checked?
No.
No.
I would definitely need people to help me, to Afi to support me, but I still will be checking and want to check. So how much money do you need to be able to stop checking?
So from a personal standpoint, no amount of money. But for wealthy people, I did some research and I wanted to share some interesting statistics. I wanted to know, at what level of wealth do people stop checking? Because it was just such a mind-blowing concept. And it was just the way, the nonchalant way that she was like, I don't know how much money I have. I just literally could not open my bank account right now. So a lot of times, very wealthy people have what we call a family office, which is just a private wealth management firm. They serve like ultra high net worth individuals. I know a few friends that have these. And basically, this is for people that have so much wealth, either individually or from a family, that they like have, just imagine like a little office. People don't work in that office in their house, but imagine like an office that is just there to service someone's home. So these are people that have like a, rather than going to like a separate advisor or a different financial advisor and then a different accountant and then someone else for insurance and someone else for wealth management, you just have like a total solution-based company that just like works for your family and takes care of all your family's money. And is like, okay, we will take care of your insurance. We will take care of your investing. We will take care of your wills and estate. And you just have to come to one company to do it all. So that's all they do. They usually service people from like 50 mil to 100 mil. And I guess the only like reliable data I could find on Emma Chamberlain's wealth is that Forbes last year said that she made around $20 million in 2023. Damn. So if that's what she made in 1 year, let's say like 40% of that went to her lawyer, management and talent agency. And then taxes, she's maybe taking home 10 mil. And then this is probably one of her most like popular years yet. Maybe she's taking like $5 million every year for the last couple of years. Like she's definitely got money, but it's not Elon Musk money. And I bet you Elon Musk has his like net worth on an app that is like on his lock screen at all times.
He's checking. He seems like the type to check frequently, which isn't a bad thing.
No.
But just that concept to me is, yeah.
It's a lot. And so there was a study that was done by Alderman's Financial Engines Report in 2023. It was based on Americans, and they wanted to ask what amount of money made people say, well, okay, I just don't need to check my wealth anymore. And on average, Americans said that they approximately needed a additional, not total income, additional $284,000 per year to feel really wealthy and to be worry-free. And this number was different for people of different age groups. Millennials, so 30 to 39-year-olds, said that they would need $1.96 million to feel like they were wealthy and to be worry-free. People 40 to 49 needed $2.69 million. And it kind of goes to show, like, I guess people do have a number where they're saying, yeah, if I have X amount of money, I will not worry anymore. I wanted to ask you, just throwing it out there, do you have a number where you're like, if I had X, I probably still will always check my bank account, but I wouldn't worry anymore?
I don't have a number. I have my mum is taken care of, my whānau, my family is taken care of financially, myself and my own whānau, my own family that I have with my husband is taken care of. And it's more about financial freedom. So long as I'm able to provide for my loved ones and they are secure, we are all secure together and we are living a lifestyle that is based on our values and things that I find important, that is when I will stop worrying. And that, like, if that comes at either, you know, I don't really mind whatever number that is. It's just so long as my loved ones are taken care of, I get to live a life that I love through the mahi, through the work that I'm doing, and all of that kind of stuff. That's all I care about. I'm not about to say, like, once I reach $1 million, I know I will not be worrying. I'd like to think that I won't be by then because that is a lot of money, but that's the way that I base things. Do you have a number, Sim?
I would have said $1 million. And I've realized that when I reach that through Girls That Invest and eventually personally, that yes, I like stopped worrying about like day-to-day expenses, but I realized I reached my not worry number a lot earlier. Rather, I reached my not worry life a lot earlier than needing to make so much money. It was very similar. It was like once I had made enough to take care of things that were important to me, to set myself up, to know that I've actually started to be able to, like, you know, set my family up or to be able to, like, get things for them that maybe they couldn't afford. That's when I was like, oh, I'm good.
Yeah.
But will I ever like not check my bank account? No. But have I gotten to a stage where I maybe don't have to look at the cheapest item on the menu and only order that? I mean, I'm currently like on holiday traveling right now. I'm still doing that.
For business owners, every transaction is more than just a swipe of a card. It's the culmination of your hard work, dedication, and commitment to your customers. That's why I'm excited to share with you a game-changing solution that's simplifying the way businesses like yours accept payments. Introducing Tap to Pay on iPhone, powered by Stripe. Contactless payments has never been easier. You can seamlessly accept contactless payments directly from your iPhone, and the best part, there's no additional hardware required. Think about it. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe cater to businesses of all sizes, empowering them to accept payments right from their iPhones. It's a game changer for businesses looking to scale quickly and stay flexible, with quick setup that takes minutes, not days. So, how can Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe benefit your business? It's simple. Increased revenue, expanded reach, and enhanced customer experience. It's a win-win-win. To learn more about how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can transform your business, visit stripe.com/tapiphone today.
Simran, girl, you so don't need to do that. You so didn't need to do that like 2 years ago.
I know you don't need to, but it's like, why is this pasta $40? Like, that's not nice.
I mean, yeah, like just because it can, it doesn't mean that you have to order the most expensive thing on the menu just to prove that you can. I mean, pasta's $30. I mean, in comparison to New Zealand dollars, yeah, what's that, like 45?
Yeah, it was bad. But I've noticed I still want to like get a discount. Like I was at Cotton On the other day. They have a Cotton On in New York.
Do they?
Yeah, which I thought was so cool.
Oh.
But I, one, very much felt at home. And then two, there were these earrings I really wanted that came in a pack of two sets of earrings, and one set had been stolen in the packet. So there was like four holes for the earrings. Two of the holes were empty. Two of them were still in there.
Did you take it up to the counter and say, hey, these two are missing. Is this like half price now?
Yeah. So I went up to the counter and I was like, hey, I actually really want these earrings. I'm wearing them now. I was like, I actually really like them, but like it's $26 for this and two of them are missing. And they gave me 15% off, which was like not a lot. But I still asked and I was just like, I looked at myself in the mirror, somewhat in like shame, somewhat in like being happy with my earrings. And I was like, wow, I still penny pinch.
Yeah, you still do penny pinch in quite a few places as well. But also that's not necessarily a bad thing in terms of, you know, spending your money, like value-based spending. But yeah, you could loosen up. Still at least have a ballpoint, in my opinion, of, you know, what's in your bank account.
I completely agree. And so I guess you and I are on the same page on we should probably keep tracking our money. But Maya, I'd love to ask you why we should keep tracking our money. Like, it sounds like there are people out there that just stop after a certain amount of money, after a certain point. What are the benefits of continuing to keep on top of where our money's going? Why should we keep doing it?
Well, it's pretty simple. You can't change what you can't measure. And so putting it simply, if you don't know what you have, you can't measure it. And putting this in terms of your spending habits. So monitoring your pūtea, your money, increases your awareness of where your pūtea is going. It can reveal spending habits or patterns that may be undermining your financial health, such as unnecessary expenses or subscriptions you no longer use or value, especially if they are expensive. This awareness just empowers you to take control and make informed decisions about your budgeting and spending. And so you just can't improve on what you don't know, like what you don't know you need to improve on. So simply, you can't change what you can't measure.
Oh, I love that.
It just kind of makes sense to me. So second, it also helps with preventing fraud and identity theft.
Mm-hmm.
We're in an era where financial fraud and identity theft are super, super common. Keeping a close eye on your accounts can help you quickly identify unauthorized transactions or discrepancies, especially with the rise of AI now. AI can do some really freaky stuff and impersonating people and all of that kind of stuff. And we know that early detection is key to preventing significant losses and resolving issues with your bank or creditors efficiently. So that's from a security perspective, which is also super important, especially when you have a lot of pūtea, a lot of money floating around.
Mm-hmm.
And so thirdly and lastly, it facilitates adaptation to financial changes. So thus is life. Life is full of changes, employment transitions, being made redundant or career progression or starting over, family growth, unexpected expenses. Maybe like you need a new roof. We need a new roof in like 2 years' time. Yeah. We did buy our house knowing that it needed to be repaired in like 4 to 5 years. So unexpected expenses and your financial situation can shift dramatically as a result. So by continuously monitoring your puthia, you can adapt more readily to these changes, adjusting your spending and saving strategies to maintain financial stability and avoid debt. So these all are pretty kind of common reasons why you need a checkup. One, you can't change what you can't measure. Two, security reasons, especially when you're working with a lot of money. If small increments are being taken out at a set amount of time, you probably won't notice unless you're checking them. And of course, financial changes in life. You know, things happen. We don't all intend on being in debt and all of those kinds of things, but circumstances change. And I think they're all really big and important points to remember because, you know, being on top of your financial circumstances is really important.
And oftentimes you'll hear horror stories of people like, I feel like Elvis Presley was one of them. I'm not sure if I'm getting this right, but like, did you watch the movie?
No, I didn't, with Austin Butler.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was edited weird though.
I will watch it because I like Elvis.
Oh, it's really interesting. And they did like a really good job. And one of the, this isn't a spoiler, but one of the things is like his manager, like, you know, was doing some shady stuff with the finances. I mean, same with the movie Straight Outta Compton, like same thing. The manager was doing shady stuff with their finances and like taking a lot more money. And it took so long for the talent in both movies to figure out that, wait, like I'm not getting a lot of money for the amount of work I'm doing. And I'm not victim blaming either of these groups of people, but like if they had access to their banking apps on their phone, I don't know, maybe they would have figured it out a little bit earlier.
Yeah. And also like in terms of being in a relationship as well. And, you know, there are horror stories of your husband passes away and they took care of all of the accounts and they don't know what financial situation they're in and they have to go through all of those kinds of things as well. So it's just like something so simple that you can do. Even, I mean, I'm not sure about the circumstances of all these super wealthy people, but they can have a bank app, right?
Yeah.
You have an app?
Who, me?
Super wealthy person? Yes.
I do have a bank app and I check my bank app. Oh my God, I think I check it weekly because I do the payments, like the accounts for Girls That Invest. Uh-huh. So I'm always like in it. And the other week I like tried to log in and it was like, your password is incorrect. And I was like, no, it's not. And I tried to log in. It didn't let me in. And I was able to call up my bank straight away. And I was like, hey, I just want to let you know, I think there's been a security breach. They were like, ma'am, there's been no security breach. Like no one has tried to change or log in. And sometimes this thing just happens with your, like, I don't know, Chrome. She was probably right. And nothing happened. But if I was never checking, I would have never known that my password wasn't working and I changed it and there was no activity on the account and nothing got stolen and we were good. But it just goes to show, like, just checking things often lets you take care of it. And God knows what would happen if I left it up to someone else. I believe in trusting other people with your money. I believe in, like, you know, business managers for Emma Chamberlain and her mum, but couldn't be me.
No, couldn't be me either, sis. I just would like to know an estimate at least.
Overall, I feel bad for Emma Chamberlain. Like, I don't think she deserved the backlash that she got for saying, like, you know, she doesn't know how much money she has. It obviously spoke to a wider issue, which was this big divide between different groups of people and the, you know, extreme range of poverty that we see in the US compared to celebrities that have grown so much wealth. And to be able to live in this sort of dystopia of like, I don't know how much I have. I just have enough to have a nice house that's in Architectural Digest and a beautiful car. And I
literally,
the house was crazy.
It's insane. Doesn't she live by herself too?
Yeah. And it's so beautiful and green. I love it. But it did like shock a lot of people. They were like, wait, did you just used to make YouTube videos? Like, is this how much wealth you can create from this?
But, you know, also she's made a lot of money with the mahi, the work that she's done. So power to you, girl.
Power to you. And it's incredible. And I think what it's done is it's allowed a lot of people to sit back and go, wait, how much would I need to be able to say the same thing? How much do I need to have? What is enough to say, oh, I don't need to worry anymore? And should you actually stop checking? But I think you had some really good points. You know, you can't change what you can't measure. Let's like not get scammed. And also just being able to be adaptable to changing financial circumstances because things are going to happen in life. I think it all adds up, and this is probably a good place to end the episode. Now, if you've enjoyed this, please let us know. Send us a DM. We love to hear your feedback. Give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps with the podcast so much. Taking a screenshot and sharing it on your Instagram story and tagging us is a great way to help us grow. It is a great way to get more people in your life to learn about wealth creation, to get wealthy with you, because at the end of the day, that is what we are here for. That is what we love. And I will see you next time, Maya.
Hey, Corneida. Bye.
Bye.
And as always, to finish off with the disclaimer, Girls That Invest does not provide personalized investing advice for your individual needs. We are not financial advisors. The advice from Girls That Invest exists for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon to make an investment or financial decision. Advice from Girls That Invest is general in nature and does not consider your individual circumstances. Always do your research and please do your due diligence.